Pirates versus Tyrants. This is the Tom Wren Show, where we practice piracy on the enemies of freedom and liberty.
Hello, 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 and welcome, everybody. I am going to start out today by telling stories. Stories, you say? Yeah, stories. So I'm going to talk about way back when. So I'm an old guy, and I'm of the generation where we walked 40 miles to school, and it was uphill both ways, and we fought polar bears with our loose leaf notebooks and all those other wonderful things. And times they've been a-changing, and I don't know that they've changed for the better. Some things are probably a little better, but there's a lot of things that are a lot worse. So I'm going to tell stories about my childhood. I'm going to tell some of those. I'm going to tell you why I'm telling it, because I know y'all don't care a whole lot about my childhood, but I think they're relevant, right? So I want to talk about, I remember when I was a kid, we would go outside and we would play. And if I wasn't going outside and play, mom and dad would yell at me and go, get out of there, go do something, with yourself. Don't lay in front of the TV. You know, we all heard those things, right? There were no cell phones, so we certainly weren't on social media or cell phones. There was, when I was young, there was certainly not even an internet as we know it today. I mean, the technology had been invented, but there was no World Wide Web that we all live with today. So there wasn't anything but TV or going outside and playing. So mom and dad would send us outside because we didn't have phones to keep us quiet. You know, now we have our kids, they get on their phone and they're playing social media or whatever, and they're nice and quiet. If they're not, they're doing what every child for thousands of years has done, which is, mom, I'm bored. Dad, I'm bored. Dad, I don't have anything to do. What can I do? And, this is really the crux of why I think the phones and the social media are used so often, because, well, it keeps the kids busy and we don't have to hear about it. So we can go about our business and our days, and you know, the children are entertained. The problem is that these things are terrible for our children, but that's another story. I want to focus on the old days. So yeah, we didn't have those things. We went outside and we played. When we played, horrible things happened. I don't know how I survived my childhood. Things like scraped knees and the horrors, absolute horrors of getting dirty. I mean, God knows what sort of germy death I got into, how much dirt and mud and filth got into every crevice of my body. I was a child. I was a little boy, and I played like a little boy. We grew up, I lived along a river. It was not uncommon for me to find myself in the river, even though the river was probably not a place I should have been. Somehow I continued to find myself there. It was a rural area also. So, you know, I would catch snakes and frogs and turtles and anything else that I could possibly catch and take them back and show my mother proudly what I had caught, for her to tell me, get that out of my house. It was a great time. You know, we built forts. We would build forts in the there was a bit of forest along the river. And we would go in there and we would take, you know, fallen trees and branches and whatever we could. And we would build forts where we were pretending to defend ourselves against the bad guys. I don't know who the bad guys ever were, but there were always bad guys that we had to defend against. And I was a little boy, so playing war and bad guys and things like that was a thing that you did. Guns. I mean, I was born with a toy gun in my hand. I'm pretty sure that I had a toy gun in my hand before I had a bottle in my hand. And then as soon as I was old enough to actually learn to shoot properly, my dad did show me how to shoot properly. He taught me to respect firearms. He taught me to make use of them and to treat them as a tool, as they are. And, interestingly enough, despite my toy guns and despite my early exposure and practice with shooting, I never shot people. I never lost my mind and went postal and just shot up schools or any other horrible things. In fact, I never even considered it. It never crossed my mind. If I wasn't going to touch the guns with the rules, I was more worried about whether my dad was going to whoop my rear. So, but by the way, I did have a dad, you know, so that probably counts for something. I had neighbor kids for some of my youth, not all of it. They were a little bit older, but we were friends, so we would play outside together. And we would play, I don't know, things that you'd play outside. You know, we'd build forts. We had a big lawnmower that we used to love hooking a little wagon to and driving around the yard to do random chores that we thought were helpful, even though we were probably too little to be helpful and we were probably not doing anything productive, but we felt like it was good and we had fun doing it. So it was good. You didn't come home early. You usually had to listen for mom screaming as the sun was setting, "Where are you guys at?" And so we would come home then. And, you know, when we got in, "Look at how filthy you are." Yeah, that was go take a bath. Yeah. I got a mom. Yeah. So I was a stereotype. I was a stereotypical boy. Interestingly enough, no one told me to be that way. I just was that way. I probably was in touch with my toxic masculinity far younger than I should have been. There was no one to tell me how evil I was. So I didn't realize that I was going to grow into a toxically masculine man who identifies as a man and has a penis. All of those things together make me evil. If any one of those were missing, I'd be better. But since they're all present in my universe, I'm obviously a horrible monster. We also would do things like get hurt because, well, we played hard. You know, sometimes you'd jump in the river and we would have where we lived. There were vines that would grow on the trees. Some of them were pretty hefty. And naturally, much like Tarzan, if a little boy sees a vine hanging and it's over a river, well, you have to jump on it and try and swing out into the river. And because you're a little boy, you don't think about the fact that there are probably rocks in the river or things that you should not swing on, nor do you think about the fact that the vine might break until you are flailing on your way down into the river and landing on that rock, which hurts like heck. So, you know, you did. I was frequently battered, bruised, and broken. I survived. And, you know, every time I came back with another major bruise or whatever, "Well, I told you not to do that." "I know, Mom." "Well, why did you do it?" "Because I didn't listen." You know, we had that sort of thing, right? Yeah, we did all of these things, and we did them frequently. I remember one time, wintertime, right? You know that we actually cancel school now because it's under 20 degrees and it might be cold for the kid at the bus stop. Seriously? 20 degrees in the winter and we're shutting down school because it might be cold at the bus stop? Okay, so 20 degrees was a nice day when I was a kid and I was out from morning till night. And if you got a little frostbite, well, you suck it up and you remember to go back in and warm up more frequently the next day, right? I remember one time I was out and I was sledding and I decided to try a different hill that I didn't usually try. And yeah, I went off the hill and it turned out that the snow was really not very good. And I went right in, I crashed right into the snow and I broke a couple ribs. And boy, did that hurt. If you've ever broken ribs are terrible. They're just painful. And I remember laying there, I was like, "Oh God, this hurts." And yeah, I was a little guy still. And, you know, I remember thinking, well, I'm far enough away from the house that there's really no one going to come and look for me till night. It's cold. I don't want to move, but it really hurts. And it's cold and nobody's coming. So you know what I did? I didn't lay there and cry and die in the snow. I got my butt up, waddled back to the house, very, very sore, and then caught hell for doing something stupid. It was stupid. I mean, it was, you know, it was just a dumb idea, but This was my childhood. You know, we fished. We did all sorts of things that boys do. I used to build things, right? We would build, we need to build a giant slingshot so we can see if we can launch a potato over the river or a giant rock over the river. Why? I don't know, because that's what we did. These are things that our children and the current generation are not doing. These are things that they don't experience. These are things that they're missing out on. And I think it's having a big impact. And it's not only having a big impact, but then they get to school and it has more of an impact. And then, you know, I think back to my childhood in school. So I learned to be tough. You know, I learned to be tough playing outside. I learned to be a boy. I learned to do what I wanted to do. And there was no influence, right? There was no, oh, you need to wear a dress because you need to be in touch with your feminine side. Nobody told me about my masculine or feminine side. I just was me. Isn't that what we want for our kids? Don't we want them to be who they are and to learn to accept themselves? Then school started and I started, you know, hanging out with other kids and doing this and doing that. And when I was in school, I went to a wonderful, wonderful high school and elementary school, R.C. Waters in Oak Harbor, Ohio. All 3,000 people, wonderful place. Mr. Preston was my principal when I first got there. I remember very well. He was a wonderful, wonderful guy, great principal. I really, really liked the guy. And I hope he's as good of a man as I remember him being. As an adult, you know, you find out that your impression of people as a child isn't always what it is. But I have a wonderful memory of him. He struck me as a wonderful man. And great thing. So we got there, and even when I got to school, we still had children being children. Let me tell you about my experience in Oak Harbor schools. Oak Harbor schools, this was pre-woke. This was a good place. Every year around Christmas, the kids would go down and we'd sing Christmas carols. We'd have a whole school gathering. No one was made to feel outcasted. No one was made to feel bad. If you didn't want to sing, you didn't have to. But there were assemblies, and we'd go down and we'd sing Christmas carols and things like that. And it was wonderful. It was a wonderful thing. Everybody was excited for Christmas. Everybody was excited about Santa Claus. And we were in elementary school. So that's what you should be doing. Not looking at TikTok or Facebook or worrying about what gender you are. We would go and we'd play on the playground. Sometimes we'd play rough. You know, it was not uncommon for the soccer games or the football games to get a little rough. And sometimes we would just fight because it was the boys. The girls always rolled their eyes at us and they'd be, what the hell are you guys doing? But we would fight. Why? Well, I don't know. We were just little boys. That's what we wanted to do. It was fun. We just saw the big time wrestlers wrestling last night and I want to practice my moves on you. And so we'd do that. Sometimes we'd fight because we were mad. You know, hey, this guy's picking on my buddy, so I'm going to go beat him up for him so they can't, you know, you can't be mean to my buddy. But then once we fought, no one went home and got guns and shot each other. We knew at that point, because we had morals and we had this and that and other, that we had to shake hands and move on. And by next recess, we were friends again. Never remembered on any of the fights that we were in hating anybody. Not once. All of these things helped to shape the horribly toxically masculine evil monster that I am today. They also helped me to accept exactly who I am today. For anybody that doesn't like who I am or doesn't appreciate what I believe in, let me tell you how much I care. Zero. Absolutely none. Most of the time, or at least half the time or more, my wife likes me. My kids like me sometimes. And I just don't care whether anybody else likes me. My producer likes me, I think. Well, she hasn't quit yet. So my assistants and my people that work with me, they seem to like me enough. And, you know, my friends, I got, you know, like two of them. Yeah, they like me. After that, I just don't care. Not one bit. Why? Well, because I learned to be okay with who I was as a child. No one told me there was anything wrong with me. No one told me that I couldn't be myself. No one told me that I needed to be in touch with something I wasn't, like my feminine side. I was not a feminine boy. I was just me. And I didn't hate anybody. You know why? Because no one told me I should. I didn't hate someone because they were different. I didn't like or dislike people because they were different from me. I learned, you know, we were Christian. Treat people like you want to be treated. My mom used to ask me, well, how would you feel if someone did that to you? And she actually wanted an answer. And I used to have to think about that. How would you feel if someone did that to you? So that was the standard, right? It wasn't a hateful thing. There was never anyone teaching me to hate. Contrast that with now. Contrast that with, hey, little kids, hey, little Johnny, you should know that Sally's black. And if you don't think about that first, then you're a racist. Well, wait a second. I thought about your race, I was a racist. See? That's critical race theory, by the way. You're supposed to think about the color of people's skin first. We're gonna go on. I have more stories after the break here, and I'm gonna actually bring this in and try and make it make some sense why I'm talking about it. But in the meantime, I'm gonna talk to you about Cofix. I've been using it, and it is saving me. It's saving me from this horrible, horrible, ravaging cold that I've been fighting. It's the only reason I think that I haven't lost my voice and had to, you know, play a replay. Thank God for Cofix. It's a great product. You want to click on the banner ad and you want to use the Out Loud code at checkout so that we can get you a nice discount so you can support our network. So please share the Out Loud code with anybody that needs Cofix and share our show and get yourself some Cofix and wash your sinuses. We will be right back on the other side of this break with more stories.
All right, you've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the povidone iodine-based nasal spray Cofix RX. They talk about it because it's a product that actually works in combating colds, flus, and coronaviruses. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. It's simple. By attacking viruses where they incubate, you make it easier for your body to heal. Check out the Cofix RX banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and save 20%. By using promo code OUTLOUD.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Okay, welcome back. So we're telling stories. We're talking about my horrible childhood. And the scarring aspects of my childhood that resulted in me becoming the toxically masculine male who identifies as a male and has a penis that I am today. If those things weren't all present, I'd be a much less evil monster. But they're all there. We talked a lot about the things that I was. I was a little boy. I played on the playground. We fought on the playground. You know, we learned to make friends. I remember I had one best friend, my best buddy, Danny. And this was early in elementary. I was painfully shy in elementary school, painfully shy. And I made a best friend. And I remember as we got a little bit older, you know, he made other friends and he made them easier than me because I was just so, so shy. And I remember it made me sad. And, you know, I felt pretty bad about it because it's like, okay, I don't know how to make friends. You know what didn't happen? No one put me in counseling. You know what did happen? I made new friends. I learned how. I grew. Things were tough for me. I perceived them from being tough, but no one told me that it was the end of the world or that I should lose my mind or be on meds for it. They just said, well, do something about it, right? So I grew. I grew as a human being. It forced me to do things I was uncomfortable in. Another life lesson there, maybe. Let's compare and contrast, you know, some of this stuff that I'm talking about with now. We talked about CRT. My mom taught me to think about how someone else feels and to treat them accordingly. How would you feel if they said this to you, right? That's how I think about it, right? Well, yesterday we talked about bad words on the show. Horrible words, like the new F word, field. I said it again. You know, I wouldn't have cared if you said field. Not one bit. I didn't care when the kids on the playground would call me names. I learned to deal with that because I got tougher. Hey, Mom, they called me names. There was no, oh my God, I'm calling the principal. It's harassment. We need to call the police. No, it was, so what? They called you what? Who cares? Did you beat him up? Why not? So we don't teach kids to deal with things now. Now, oh, words hurt. We need to take this very, oh, are you sad? Little Johnny, are you sad? We need to have, let's talk about, let's touch, get in touch with our feelings. Let's have counseling sessions over this. Hey, school, we need a 12-week counseling session for little Johnny because little Billy called him a poo-poo head. And so now little Johnny is scarred for life. And instead of teaching little Johnny to punch little Billy in the face or just to ignore what he said, we're going to play into little Johnny's sadness, build it up, and teach little Johnny that his sadness is the only thing that matters in this universe and go on. That way, little Johnny never learns to grow. He never learns to be more. He never learns to be anything. And instead spends his life as a wuss. A useless, weak wuss. Hey, little Johnny and little Billy, they got in a fight today. Little Billy, he put his hands on Johnny. He actually pushed him. And little Johnny fell on his butt. And worse yet, someone laughed at it. Oh my God, call the police. It's assault and battery and maybe attempted murder. Well, clearly little Billy needs to spend the rest of his life in counseling and in jail. And little Johnny is going to need counseling for 6 months. What did we just do to little Johnny and little Billy? Well, we ruined little Billy's life for being a normal little boy. And we told little Johnny that he shouldn't deal with these things. He should just be a wussy, whiny baby and cry about it. That's what we're doing to our kids. You know, I look at what's happening in this world, and I look around me. I look at guys like Yuval Noah Harari. Y'all know who he is, right? You should. He's the advisor for Klaus Schwab, the human genitalia at the World Economic Forum. Have you ever looked at any videos of Yuval Noah Harari? You'll want to mute them because if you listen to him, you're going to want to throw up in your mouth. He's usually talking about how much he loves Hitler and Stalin and how he wants to enslave humanity and monitor everything that you do and the great future that he has in mind, right? So if you're listening to him, you're probably going to be annoyed and want to throw up. But if you look at him, And then you think about what he's saying. The only thing I can think of is that this kid just didn't get beat up on the playground enough. Every time I look at him, he didn't learn to accept himself. He didn't learn to tolerate or to grow from difficulties. He learned to whine. We have so many wusses and weenies in this country. So many people who don't know how to handle anything even remotely like adversity. And we're trying to make more of them. Instead of teaching our kids to be strong, to be tough, to stand up for others, we tell our kids, oh, don't stand up. Don't stand up to anybody. Just tell an adult. What the hell is that? What are you teaching your children? Of course, we follow that up with, but don't bother us with it too often. You know what? Just get on social media. That'll help. Just do that instead. Right? We'll teach you. We don't really want to teach you life lessons, but if you get sad, tell us. And then you get on social media. Well, after we've spent, I don't know how many years telling our kids that words hurt and sticks and stones might break your bones, but words definitely hurt you. We then go on, we see that they go on social media and the keyboard warriors do what they do, which is call names and do horrible things. And then all of a sudden these kids feel terrible. They have no tools to deal with it. None. They're totally unequipped to deal with any of this. So what do? They bottle it up. Now, I have a totally unscientifically supported theory that I'm going to espouse right here. Okay? When I was growing up, despite my exposure to guns and playing war and doing all the things that we did, and the fact that we just outright fought with each other physically, at no point did I ever or would I ever have considered or even had run through my mind the idea of taking one of Dad's guns, going to school and shooting people. Why? Because I learned constructive ways to deal with life. I learned that sometimes you just got to suck it up and deal with it. Sometimes you got to fight back. And sometimes you got to stand up for other people. I did that too, a lot of it. If we don't teach kids these values and instead teach them that they're powerless, that they're weak, that they need to count on someone else to do things, what are these kids supposed to do? And how about the little boys? And I, you know what? I'm talking about little boys because I'm big on my toxic masculinity and I have two little boys. Now I'm all for, if I had a little girl, I would want her to be strong and powerful and do all the things that she can do, right? I mean, I'm pretty sure that if I had a little girl, she would be one of the most vicious killers on the planet. I'd have her fighting. By the time a boy could look at her, she would be able to break him into 5,000 pieces, especially most of the boys now, although that's not saying much. But I have two little boys, and I want my boys not only to be able to stand up for what they believe in and to be themselves and to be comfortable with who they are, I also want them to stand up for others. I'm proud. My job, you know, I do this show. I'm an attorney. I speak out. I'm an activist. My job is essentially to try and be a voice and to fight for people who need that. I don't like bullies. And in my mind and in my life, I view what I do as try and stand up to bullies. I don't care how big and bad you think you are. I'll fight you. I don't care. Because I've learned that it doesn't, that I can do that. I've learned to take my own power. I've learned to accept who I am. How many good parents, because I've got a lot of people in my generation or even older, good people, great parents. But I think one of the things that we have to challenge ourselves with as parents is this. The most natural thing that you can do as a parent is want to protect your child from everything. I do. Man, you look at my kid cross, I want to tear you to pieces, and I can do it. I am a big, angry, grumpy ogre. You know, I spent most of my life martial arts, boxing, fighting, wrestling, you name it. All these things. And then I learned to be a lawyer so I can tear you apart there too. I mean, I spent a lot of years learning to fight. I can protect my kids. I'm good at it. But sometimes I have to not. Sometimes I got to make them fight their own battles. Sometimes they have to go through hard things, and I'm there for them. Son, we got to talk about this. Let's talk about it. But you know what? You're still doing it. You still have to deal with it. Son, you made a mistake. I've got your back. I support you. I love you. But you're going to pay the consequences for it because you did it. Son, you know, I know that little Billy's making fun of you. You got two options. You can stand up against him or you can deal with it. I'm not fixing it for you. No, I'm not going to go kick his dad's butt. No, I'm not going to sue him. And no, I'm not going to call the school over it. You're going to deal with it. You're going to talk to little Billy and you're going to explain to him the situation. And the situation's just as simple. Little Billy, you're being rude and disrespectful. I'm asking you to stop. If little Billy continues, you say to little Billy, I've asked you several times, please stop. And if you get to the point that you can't take it and you want to slug little Billy in the head, then I'll back you on that. But what I'm not going to do is go in and fight your fight for you because you won't learn to do it. Right? We're at a point now where if my little kid does slug little Billy, I'll probably be glad I'm a lawyer and glad I do the things that I do. But you know what? I don't care. There's right and there's wrong, and I'm going to teach my kids to be men and to do what's right. If I had a daughter, I'd teach her to be a woman and do what was right. By the way, if you think you can find a stronger woman than the women around me, good luck. My wife, she's incredible. My staff, my people, I got a handful of women that run my universe. And let me tell you what, these are the strongest women you're ever going to run across. I love strong women. That's fine. So it's not a sexist thing. What it is a strength thing. I like strength. I don't like wussies. I don't like cowards. Seems to me that America's kind of at war right now. We talk a lot about that on this show. We're being attacked in a lot of ways, but the cultural attacks are something that a lot of people have a hard time understanding. And I think one of the most fundamental cultural attacks is the attack on strength. Our enemies, the enemies of freedom, you can only eliminate freedom if people give it up, because we, the people, always have the power. Tyranny can never exist when the people refuse to give up their power. You know, it's kind of like the kid on the playground. If you call me a name, I get to decide whether I feel bad or whether I do something about it, right? In the same way, if you try and take my power, I get to decide whether I give it to you or I try and fight to take it back. Tyranny can't exist where there's a strong people. There's a war on that strength. There's a war on anything. And it's not just toxic masculinity that's being attacked. It's not just men being men that's being attacked. It's strength everywhere. Strong women get attacked. I don't mean crazy baby-killing feminist idiots. I'm talking about strong women, women of values, women who speak out. Look at the abuse that Candace Owens takes, Carrie Lake. Those are strong women. Strength is under attack, and it's under attack because for tyranny to survive, they have to weaken us. They have to weaken who we are, and they have to weaken what we are. And make no mistake, there are people out there that do not want a strong America. They do not want freedom. CCP, WEF, pick your enemy. We got a lot of them. Now, the hallmark of America has been strength. We were a bunch of hillbillies. Come right out here. You know where I love? I love hillbillies and cowboys. Okay, I love hillbillies. I am so much happier with a campfire and a beer than I could ever be in any sort of swanky 5-star restaurant. You have no idea. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like the 5-star restaurants and the delicious food, but you give me a campfire and a beer and I'm at home. right? You give me a beer dispensing hat and, you know, I don't know, a lousy tacky t-shirt. No. Okay. Well, maybe not that, but I am very much at home with that. You know, those are my people. Those are the people that made America. They're tough. They're strong. They don't apologize for who they are. If you try and get them to, they're going to tell you where to go and then laugh at you for doing it. There's a war against those people, my people. There's a war against people who are comfortable with who they are and who are strong. And by the way, all of this wordsmithing, oh, you can't say that. It's not inclusive. You don't care what someone says about you if you're comfortable with who you are. The only reason that we have to watch our words is because we got a bunch of people who are not comfortable with who they are. Man up, learn to deal with adversity, learn to accept who you are, and you'll be just fine. You won't worry one bit about inclusive language. I don't. I don't care whether you like my straight male with a penis attitude. I don't care one bit. I don't care if you're not a straight male with a penis. I don't care if you're a girl that thinks she has a penis but doesn't. I don't care what you do because I'm comfortable with me. And I would suggest for all of the people of all the genders and sexualities and whatever they are, if you really want to be happy, instead of trying to convince me that I should approve of your life, quit worrying about me and start finding your own approval. Find yourself being happy with yourself. Trust me, it will make a huge difference. I'm not done with this rant. I got a lot more, but we're going to talk more on the other side of the break. Right now, you know, along with my Cofix, I'm running my Genesis HOCL. I'm running that thing crazy. I don't want my family to get my germs. So far, so good. Nobody's getting sick, just me. Well, my children plagued me, but then I ran it, and now there's no more spread, right? It's the plague bringers, my children. But you need a Genesis HOCL to prevent that in your house. So go to the banner ad, use Out Loud code at checkout. You need to have one of these. It's a big, wonderful contraption. Works great. I like it. So get yourself one, use Out Loud code at checkout, and we will be right back with more of me ranting.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
For 40 years, alarmists have been warning of a climate catastrophe, yet none of their dire predictions have come true. Temperatures have not soared, sea level rise has not been unusual, and extreme weather events have not increased in either frequency or intensity. In short, there is no climate emergency. For 15 years, the International Climate Science Coalition has led the call for climate realism and a Made in America climate plan. A plan based on real science that responds to the real world needs of Americans, supports economic growth, and strengthens our essential infrastructure. A plan that protects the environment and ensures that Americans can enjoy the blessings of clean air, clean land, and clean water for generations to come. It's time to put ideology and pseudoscience aside. It's time for a sensible climate plan. For more information or to donate, visit our website, icsc-climate.com.
Welcome back. Okay, so I'm on a total tirade here. About, self-love, for lack of a better term, amongst other things. You know, my generation, you know, many of us, we learned to, but part of it's our fault. You know, like I said, we want to protect our kids from everything. And so we're making them weak. And they've continued to get weaker because we continue to protect our kids from too much. You know, the other thing that we're doing is we've got some bad people that are very, very clever about convincing us to do some bad things. They drive us away from our core values that made us what we are. As I was talking before the break about my brother and sister, hillbilly cowboy types. Love them. Love them. So you imagine, if you would, going up to a campfire where you got a bunch of people with their cans of PBR, sitting on logs, listening to country music, probably from a pickup truck, and telling them, hey, you guys, you should know that campfire is emitting too much carbon and you're going to contribute to climate change. What's going to probably happen is you're going to probably get one of those beer cans through your head. Then after that, they'll probably go pick up the beer can and try and drink the rest of the beer out of it. Because that's that. Those are my kind of people, right? Those are my kind of people. The cowboys. You know, we still have cowboys in this country. Y'all know what cowboys are. Cowboys aren't just John Wayne, right? So that embodies the cowboy culture. But cowboys literally were called that because they were cattle ranchers. You know, they drove the cattle up and down the prairie and drove them to market and drove them wherever they need to be driven and watched the cows, and they had big herds, and they were literally cowboys. We still have a few of them in this country, not too many. It's a pretty rare thing, but here's a shout out to them, and God bless you guys. That foundation from which our country was built, pioneers, settlers, people who fought to survive. Do you think, so there's a couple of real popular shows out on, I don't know where they're from, it was 1883, or there's a bunch of date shows, I don't know. What's the show, there's the real popular one about the Yellowstone, maybe? I don't know. But they're talking about life back in the day. And the one, I think, it's 1883 or something like that. But they talk about what it is. It's a story of a bunch of people who were going from Texas to, they were trying to go to Portland, you know, back in the pioneer days. So it was a wagon train. And it talked about what they dealt with. It talked about them, you know, you got to cross the river. Well, you're going to have four people die. Oh, we've got, God forbid, Indians attack. Because, you know, hey, listen, back in the day, the Native Americans and the white folk did not get along. It's just that simple. And there was nothing pleasant from either side. I understand we may have been invading their land, but they also did scalp innocent people who were just trying to go through. It was a nasty, nasty time. It was bad on both sides. And, you know, we can go to who did what first. I don't think there was any innocent party in any of it. I think the whole thing was, and by the way, I got a bunch of Native American in my blood. And when my family was intermarrying with the Indians, it was a shameful thing. In fact, my grandfather's generation wouldn't talk about their Indian blood because there was a lot of bad blood, and it was a very shameful thing. I'm quite proud of it. I mean, I'm not as much of an Indian as Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren, probably, but you know, I whatever I got in me, I'm pretty proud of. I think that's a neat thing. But I also recognize that neither side of my ancestry was totally innocent in this. I mean, there was some nastiness all about. So yeah, that's an interesting thing, but. These guys back in those days, they were tough. One thing when you watch those shows, I want you to ask yourself, because they're very popular shows, I guess. My wife tells me that they're super popular, and I'm watching them, and it's interesting to me that, you know, I looked at this a little bit, and I saw a lot of comments and a lot of, oh, my God, can you believe that this happened or that happened? And it's like, these are things that, you know, yeah, you did have people die. Yeah, it was nasty. No, there was no... inclusivity in language. I mean, nobody was worrying about that, right? People were people. I think they did a pretty interesting job doing that. I mean, I got a boot out. I haven't I don't get to watch much TV, but I saw a little bit of one or two of those series, and I thought they were interesting. But the thing is those people were tough. Their kids were tough. Their families were tough. There were no mass shootings amongst the wagon train. That wouldn't have went well. In fact, if you pulled a gun on somebody, you were probably going to get shot for doing that. So there were mass shootings, because even if they wanted to be a mass shooting, they wouldn't get very far because someone else would have shot them because they all had guns. But a different time and a much stronger group of people than what we have now. Can you imagine? I mean, look what happens now when we lose power for a day. Now, you'd think that the world's ending. We've become wusses. We've become weenies. We've become wimps. And you know what? I accept that to an extent I have too. I'm probably less tough than I was when I was a kid. I still like to go camping, and camping to me is what I can carry on my back. Nothing else. I don't want to, if I want to sleep in a bed, I'd just as soon sleep in my own bed. But you know, if I can go out and explore somewhere where nobody's been for a while, or it's usually pretty empty and I got to take a tent or a sleeping bag, I think that's fun. But I'm 46 and, it's harder than it was when I was, you know, 18 to 25. And I've probably gotten a little bit softer. It's nature to become softer if you're allowed to. And you got to not let yourself do that. But as a society, there's got to be limitations to how weak we allow ourselves to become. We've become too soft. We've become too weak. And now that's causing more problems. I just saw today that the American College of Pediatrics put out a thing. There was a new study came out. This is causing, I can only imagine the poo storm that this is going to cause in the coming days. But the American College of Pediatrics is recognizing there was another study. And all of this perversion that we're doing, that we're poisoning our kids with this transgender stuff, which, I'm sorry, that's child abuse. If you're pushing your kid, if you're allowing your child to participate in transgenderism, that's child abuse. Puberty blockers, these surgeries, that's child abuse, it's child endangerment, and you should be prosecuted, in my opinion. I am 100% on that, and I don't care if you're offended by it or not. You want to do something when you're 40 years old, you want to get the adidectomy surgery or the wiener removal, well, that's your business. You want to do it, you want to let a 16-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 5-year-old do that, that's child endangerment. So all of this was pushed by a couple of garbage studies, because we all know what they do now. The other side, these people who hate America and hate freedom and hate our kids, whenever they want to accomplish something, they what they do is they fake studies. They put these fake studies out, and then they say, we got to make a policy based on this fake study. Well, the studies on this gender dysphoria garbage is absolutely have been shown. There was a wonderful study that they finally got published that showed that this is, these studies were garbage. They're just absolute trash. And this is common in science at this point. You know, Anthony Fauci, follow the science. All the transgender stuff, all the quote unquote science behind it was garbage. Shocking, right? Who would have thunk it? Well, the American College of Pediatrics quote, calls on organizations to scrap current transgender protocols based on newly published critique. No kidding. No kidding. This is bad for kids. That's a shock. That's a shock. What you mean? Not so, again, going back to what I've been talking about, you want to be happy in life, you got to accept who you are, right? If I'm fat and I don't want to be fat, I can lose weight, or I can say, you know what, I'm fat and it's okay. Just that simple, right? I'm a dude though, right? I was born with a penis. What that means that for me to not be a dude, if I'm uncomfortable or unhappy with being a dude, I can't do anything about that outside of major, major radical surgery and hormones and other things that are going to cause lifelong health issues, major health issues. Now, there may be medical situations where someone is so dysphoric or so this or so that, that it's actually the best solution. But that is darn rare. We're trying to make this transgender stuff something that's just easy. Hey, you know, my 8-year-old says he feels like a girl, so I'm going to give him puberty blockers. What? Then you're an idiot, a monster, and you're abusing your child. Just in the same way that, by the way, you're abusing your child if you give them the vaccine, because you're going to kill your child. The COVID vaccine. Instead of teaching our kids to accept who they are, tell them, well, you be whatever you want to be. Well, you can't be whatever you want to be. If I was born dumb, I'm not going to be smart. Sometimes we don't get dealt the same hand. That's just the way it is, right? So I am 6'4". I will never fit well in a small car. I just don't. When I go buy a car, I got to buy something big. It's just not fair. So what should I do? Should I have like a couple inches lopped off? Or go, hey, doc, I want to shorten my legs so that I can fit in small cars, right? I'm a big dude, right? So it's hard for me to buy clothes off the rack. They look ridiculous. That's not fair. Life's not fair because I can't buy clothes off the rack. God made us all different. The only way you will ever find happiness in this world is to embrace who you are and to be okay with who you are. You will never, ever be happy when you're trying to be something you're not. This is basic wisdom that I learned as a child, that my parents installed, that my grandparents installed. This is basic wisdom that anyone over 30 knows or should know. But it's basic wisdom we're failing to imbue on our kids. And what is that going to do for our country? Now, we have the American College of Pediatrics saying something that's going to cause a poo storm all over the country for saying something as accurate and truthful as, you know, hey, maybe puberty blockers in 8-year-olds is a bad idea. You know, 8-year-olds who don't even know what sex is and shouldn't know what gender. I mean, again, let's go back to the stories that I talked about early in the show. When I was that age, I was at R.C. Waters Elementary School in Oak Harbor, Ohio. We were fighting on the playground. If someone said a bad word, it was really funny. And, you know, we were going to sing Christmas carols at Christmas. None of us were talking about, you know what, I'm going to be a girl tomorrow. What? It was still funny if you said that, because it's stupid. It's stupid. It's stupid today, right? I don't hate people who are different. And if you've got that as an issue and you've had to go through that, well, so be it. But you know what? You need to accept yourself. If you've gone through that, if you've gone through it as a transgender, whatever it is, and it was successful, then that means you accept yourself for who you are and you don't care what I think. If you still care what I think, then you did it for the wrong reasons because you were worried about what other people think. You cannot be happy if you're worried about what I think, and you can't make me impressed or think something different than I do. I'm not going to change what I think because you choose to make certain decisions in your life. What I think is I don't care whether you're gay, straight, transgender, non-transgender, or someone who pretends that they're a kitty cat and pees in a litter box. I may look at you funny. I may think that's a little bizarre. But I don't care. I don't hate you. There's no hate. But if you think I'm going to think that it's perfectly normal for someone to pee in a kitty box, I got news for you. I just am not. I can't get behind that, right? I just, you know, the furries, you got issues, right? Maybe you're a nice person. I don't hate you. But I want you to understand that you will be cleaning your own litter box. I'm just not getting into it, okay? Everything that we're trying to talk about here is foundational to the problems we're having in our country. The division that is being sowed, the racial division, the sex division, everything. All this division is because people cannot accept who they are. They're looking for happiness from other people. To my mind, we can get rid of school shootings. Let little boys be little boys. Let them fight on the playground. Let them scuff their knees. Let them do things. Tell little Johnny, hey, little Billy made fun of you. Go sock him in the nose. I'll bet you he'll stop making fun of you. Or he'll sock you back and you'll just learn to deal with it one way or another. But either way, you'll get done. Then you shake hands, you call it a day. I know that's radical. I know I'm old school. Oh my God, Renz is talking. He's endorsing violence. Oh my God. No, I'm trying to stop violence. Real violence. Real violence that occurs because people are forced to deny who they are to a point where it builds up and builds up and they just lose their mind. These kids should never be under the pressure that they're under. We have failed them as adults. We have failed them as parents. We have failed them as a society. And it's time that we start teaching our children to be who they are, to own who they are, to stand for who they are, and to fight for who they are. I want my boys to do that. I don't want my boys to apologize for being what they are, whatever that ends up being. God will figure that out with them. So I think that that's really important. This is a really important issue to me and something that I stand very strongly on. And, you know, when I see these little pencil neck weenies like Harari, all I think is, you know, they need beat up on the playground and they didn't play enough dodgeball, right? Like I'm actually looking, if any of you guys make dodgeballs, I'm looking for someone. I would love to sponsor dodgeball company and have like Ren sponsor dodgeballs. Cause yeah, we could throw them at these little weenies and like teach them to be men. Okay. Maybe we shouldn't throw them at people, but I'm sure there's a legal issue if I do that, but you know, I'm into sponsoring dodgeballs. I like that. So, and I'm also into my sponsors. So go to TomRenz.com and support them. If you're buying my pillow, tell them Renz sent you. If you're buying gold from BH-PM.com, tell them Renz sent you. If you're buying vitamins from Naputi or Nucleogenics, you know, tell them I sent you. Sign up for my Substack. We need your support. We need you guys to help us so that we can keep fighting for you, so that we can keep teaching people to grow and to be humans. And hopefully we can have more cowboys, because we need more cowboys in this country. So go to TomRenz.com, give us some support, and thank you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.